I like this makeshift studio here inside the coach's offices of Pulaski Academy.
Oh, yeah.
Joined by Kevin Kelly, head football coach of the Bruins. Kevin, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. With the way it looks, I'm glad you still called it a coach's office.
Well, football helmets,
I will tell you this,
floor
coach,
cleaner.
My father coached at Mountain Pine, coached at some Bismarck, and so I've been in some of his coaches' office. This is luxury compared to some of those.
We tried to take over Roger Franks' desk, but he kicked us off.
Yeah, my first cousin went to Mountain Pine High School, and I was there all the time, and so I'm familiar with those facilities. So you're right, it's pretty good.
And obviously summertime, 7-on-7 is in full swing. You just had the kids come back after a two-week hiatus, and talk about the 7-on-7 and how it's going so far this summer.
Oh, it's been good, you know, they're popping up all over the state, good tournaments everywhere, and it's good for a lot of reasons. It's good, you know, the college coaches will tell you, hey, you want your kids playing year-round, it gives them a chance to get better skill-wise if they're doing stuff all summer long. As far as for high school coaches, you know, whether you throw the ball or not, you're going to have to defend it at some point, and gives you a reason to have your kids close and busy and staying out of trouble at the same time, getting good coaching and things like that, getting to see a bunch of different schools, getting to network a little bit. But the more we get into it, the more that really good tournaments are popping up in different corners of the state instead of just Central Arkansas.
Yeah, and what is your probably – I don't know if y'all set up goals for the summer, if there's like 3 goals, 5 goals, 1 goal. What is your main goal you try to accomplish with your kids, if it's learning some basic offense, learning technique? What do you like to do in the summer for your kids?
One of our things as coaches here is, of course, we run that type of offense. And we don't – you know, a lot of people will deviate from what they do during the season for 7-on-7, and that's fine. That's understandable, too. We want to run what we're going to run during the season, number one, and we do that a lot. As a coach, one of the things you want to do is experiment, and that's experiment putting kids in different places, running different types of plays, different concepts, and things like that. And then our goal is we want to teach our kids to win. If they're going to be out there working, and we're going to help them working all summer, we want to win and be competitive because life's a competition, you know, jobs, colleges, girls, everything you do, it's competition. So we want to teach them to compete, and our goal is basically when we enter a tournament to win the tournament.
And jobs, colleges, girls. Real quick, I can't let that go away. Jobs, and you had to throw girls in there at the end.
Well, they're competing for wives, aren't they, one of these days?
I guess you're right.
Yeah. It's all a competition. And if you're a competitor,
I'm done with that, though. I'm married, so. Competition's over. I won.
And you're talking about, you know, certain plays. And I think 7-on-7 just kind of was coming around when I was a senior. And we kind of ran our 2 minutes stuff with some hand signals and certain things. And one thing Coach always did was he would ask me, he'd say, okay, what are a couple plays you just love? You know, what are about 4 or 5? And do you do that with your quarterbacks? And then where I had the option in 2 minute where I could call the plays I wanted, unless, you know, it was a timeout or a dead ball, you know, he'd call in a play. Do you do that and try to have about 5 or 6 plays that you just that the quarterback has confidence in?
That's a good question. One of the things I do is I do call our quarterbacks in, and I do say, what are the plays you're most comfortable with in a 3rd and short situation or a 3rd and long situation? That's primarily what it, well, for us, 4th and short, 4th and long. But I don't let them call anything. They have one check they can check to, and that's it. And it has to be perfect. I mean, there's no and my rule for them, I got this from Chip Kelly at Oregon, going up and listening to him speak and talking to him a little bit. Have if-then statements for everything, because sometimes a kid will go out there and go, why'd you do that? He goes, well, I wasn't sure. If you're not sure, then do this.
Right.
We always have that. But now in the 2 minute offense, our guys, they don't get to call anything. I'm calling everything.
Yeah. Is it hand signals or is it
ours?
Like
is all
board?
Hand. Ours okay, is all yeah. hand signals. We've done both. We've done the collar, the wristbands.
Yeah.
We've done the signals. But the more you do that kind of stuff, you know, the more mistakes I think people can make. So we do hand signal and everything. And you know, it gets to the point where after you've had the kids for, you know, by the time they're seniors, I think I could hand signal them in, hey, go take a drink of water, take your left step first and come back. And
exactly.
You know, and
exactly.
they all get it because people look and go, you're going too fast, you're going too fast. But they figure it out.
You should see his play chart on a Friday night. There have been times when we've done a high school game of the week out here at Pulaski Academy. We can't do it on the road because they show up about 30 minutes before kickoff. Sorry.
No, that's not sorry. That's okay.
Inside joke.
Hey, we started doing that because the kids, you know, I would ask some of our kids a long time ago, said, what is the worst part of football? And you'd think they're going to say August practice because those suck. I mean, everybody hates August practice because you got 4 weeks before a game. It's hot. It's awful.
You're beating on everybody else.
Yeah, it's horrible. And the number one thing they hated the most was the time sitting there before a real game started. That was first. August was second. I thought, wow, I wouldn't have guessed that. So I thought, okay, what are we really trying to accomplish in those 2 hours? We want them to get their game face on, really want them to think about the game, start thinking about the most important jobs in the world, maybe doing surgery on somebody. Does the doctor go sit in a separate room for 2 hours and think about the surgery? No, he walks in, does that surgery, bounces, does another one. You know, he either knows how to do it or he doesn't. So our philosophy, and we try to think a little differently and pretty much everything we do, but that's one of the things we thought, well, God, really, what are we doing? The kids don't like it. If they don't like it, their mindset is, whether you think it's doing them good or not, it's not doing them any good because they have a negative attitude towards it.
And it's a good point, because let's say you travel somewhere and you're there 2 hours early. It's not a comfortable situation. Where do they go sit? Where do they go hang out at? At least you have them and they're comfortable going there. So, I mean, it's a good point, although – I guess in high school, we didn't really stretch. We did this, like, agility thing for, like, 7 minutes and never pulled. Nobody ever got hurt or as far as, like, soft tissue injuries. I guess right. When you're that age, so you can show up 30, 45 minutes early.
And it's kind of the same thing we do. That's kind of the same thing we do. And I got a little bit of that. You know, when we started going, let's shorten this thing up, I got to go visit a guy out in Arizona that trains a lot, Dustin Pedroia, and trains some NFL, Larry Fitzgerald, some of these guys. And talked to him about dynamic stretching and warming up and things like that. And he's like, that old school stretching stuff,
yeah.
You know, that's hurting you as much as it's helping you. It's actually tearing some muscle fibers and this and that and the other. So you start looking at all that stuff and think of what else can we do to shorten it up. And that was one of the things, that dynamic stretching you're talking about. We can stretch in 10 minutes.
If it's raining outside, you don't have to go sit down on the ground and get wet already.
Yes, yep. Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Get their butt wet, and they're sitting there the whole time thinking about
their
butt
about
being
that.
Wet. Yeah, they're not thinking about what they need to be thinking about. And we told the coaches, hey, if you don't have it in by Thursday, then you ain't going to have it in. You didn't do a very good job this week. You know, if you're having to have a last-minute meeting on Friday to say, okay, when their tailback steps right and the quarterback steps left and they're doing that, you know, hey, he needs to know that by Thursday or he doesn't need to know it.
Kevin, you've had some outstanding athletes come through Pulaski Academy in your time as head football coach here, most recently Hunter Henry, who is at the University of Arkansas now. Talk about some of the coaches that have come from the college ranks in here to PA to look at the talented kids that compete on a given Friday night.
We've been fortunate. You know, one of the things I think as you go through and get into the process, coaches now are worried about getting kids that are eligible all the time. And they do know, we've never had a kid at PA that was not eligible academically. So now they'll stop whether we have a kid or not. And then when we do have one, everybody's coming because they know the kid's going to be eligible. And we've been really, really fortunate to have everybody from Jim Tressel when he's at Ohio State to Nick Saban to Pete Carroll, Joe Paterno. You know what I mean? The biggest name, you know, and it's been neat. And I used to be so mesmerized by them because I'm just like, wow. And I'm taking pictures with them. Like, you know, I'm saying, hey, will you take a picture with me getting my kid out of class? And all that kind of stuff. But as I get into it now, I've really started learning, hey, when they do come, they can't just walk in, say, hey, how you doing, make an appearance and leave. They feel like they've got to stay there for an hour and a half. So now I make them go sit in my office, and I'm like, and I just tell them, I say, I know you've got to stay here. How long do you think you've got to stay? Be like, all right, an hour and a half. I'll be like, good. For 1 hour and a half, we can either go eat and I can ask you questions, or we can sit in my office and ask you questions. And you don't have to answer them, or you can answer them. And they'll sit there, and I'll ask them anything and everything, and I'll be honest. These guys have been bluntly, brutally honest with me about anything I've wanted to ask, and it's been pretty cool, you know. And
who's some of the best coaches
sit down and chat with?
Yeah, just hang with that. You could say we could go fishing or we could go hunting,
and then spill the beans. Yeah. You know, some of the questions you asked them, what were the responses?
Nick Saban spilled the beans, and which was cool because he's very introverted, guarded.
Anybody that has a button on their desk in their office that they can push and shut their own door.
Yeah, he's very guarded, but he opened up. It was one of my favorite things was asking him why he got out of the NFL. Oh, and he gave me the whole thing and told me some really pretty cool NFL stories. It would take 5 minutes for me to tell you.
We got time. It's the summer.
But he told me some.
Dante Culpepper's name wasn't mentioned, was it?
Dante Culpepper's name was mentioned. Dante Culpepper and then
Drew Brees.
And then the backup. Who was the backup that ended up being the Miami starter half that year?
Maybe Chad Pennington.
When Dante blew his knee out.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
That was the whole deal that I've heard, that his quarterback situation was a mess.
Well, here's the deal. He swears that he wanted Drew Brees.
Yeah.
So he brings him in, but the general manager, he said, this is how the NFL works. He said, that's why there's only like four teams that win, that he thinks win every year.
Yeah.
If their coach has a personnel say-so in the matter.
Yeah.
He said, and I didn't. So he goes, the GM trumps me, but supposedly I got a say-so. He said, so I wanted to bring Drew Brees in. He goes, so the owner's saying, hey, we'll get whoever you want, Nick. And then the GM tells the team doctors directly under the GM. So the GM went to the team doctor and said, hey, he's not to pass his physical. So Drew Brees doesn't pass his physical, goes down to New Orleans, passes his physical. I'm stuck with – but the GM wanted Dante Culpepper. We end up bringing him in 3 games in, blows out his knee because it was already bad in the first place.
Right, yeah.
And there we go. And he said – then he told me a cool story about whoever the backup was. I don't think it was Pennington.
I'll find out who it is, yeah.
I don't think it was Pennington, but it was whoever it was. He said he goes in, and this is one of those like you saw – have you ever seen the movie Any Given Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
When they sit in the meeting at the end of the year, this guy had to play like – 15 more plays to get his to get $1 million bonus, and he's talking about how, you know, it was going around, hey, don't play this guy, don't start this guy, and he's like, we're not gonna make the playoffs anyway. And Nick's like, hey, we can go 8-8 if we beat New England this last game, or we'll be 7-9, we'll have a losing record. I don't want to have a losing record, and I want to start this guy. He deserves his bonus. He came in when Dante got hurt and did all this, and if he plays, he plays. And I think he said he felt a little pressure not to play the guy, and I said, what'd you do? He goes, I went ahead and played him. It was the right thing to do, and he played and got his $1 million bonus, and there you go.
Did he talk about the move to leave the NFL and why Alabama?
I mean, one of the things he said was they told me I'd have complete control of everything. You know, he even had control of before anyone, when he first got there, they had given him, and I'm not saying he'd wanted it, didn't want it, they had given him complete control of anybody that talked about Alabama football. It had to go through him, even the president of the university. And
It wasn't Cleo Lemon or Shane Matthews, wasn't either one of them?
The backup.
I don't think so. Yeah. I think they were the backup to the whoever they brought in.
Okay.
Anyway, he said that. Well, he said, you know, I thought, well, that sounds good. Nobody will ever say anything that I don't want to be said. He goes, then I quickly realized I was my own worst enemy at times, and that wasn't the best thing to do. So, you know, I was impressed. Pretty smart guy. I realized that wasn't the best thing. Although, you know, a lot of people would like complete 100% control. Then he started saying, well, there's some people that know better than I do.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting. He said they gave me complete control. Winning university, if you win there, I mean, they've got everything you want. The boosters are great. Anything you need, you're going to get. He said that's, you know, they love football down there. And I love football. And he goes, it's just a perfect match. So, real interesting.
Brett Bielema comes in. What's the conversation's been with him since he's become the head coach of the Razorbacks?
You know, it was different for him because he was on a whirlwind, I think, mm-hmm. you know, just coming in and trying to figure it all out and getting to know people. And I'm sure he's walking in, who the heck's PA and who's this guy? And as he goes around the city, same thing, and meeting different coaches and stuff. So a little bit different. His is more of a whirlwind. Hey, how's it going? How's everybody treating you up there? How you like Arkansas? You know, all that kind of stuff. Stuff he's going to just say positives and things like that about. So haven't really got – and I got to visit with him for a long time, a couple of hours. But, you know, it was neat, and I was glad I got to talk to him. I can see why he's known as a good recruiter. I mean, he's – smooth talking, good, easy to converse with. He's the kind of guy you'd want to go out to dinner, hang out, and go bowling with, you know, something like that. He was good. The best overall, though, ever, by far, not close,
Pete
was
Carroll.
Pete Carroll. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
He stayed here 6 hours one day.
When he was recruiting Roger Green?
Yeah, and then he came back and stayed another 6 hours on another day. And he was awesome. I mean, by the time he left, honestly, if he said, Kevin, I'll give you $10,000 to go be our water boy, I'd be like, okay, I'm in. And then I had to get halfway out there and be like, what am I doing?
What am I doing? Where am I going to live?
Because you left
more than that in a month to live out there.
He's like a rock star. But he was smooth. And what he did really well was he makes you feel important. You know, and I'm sitting there thinking, God, you're Pete Carroll,
and that's why you were wondering, I guess, his first couple of years at Seattle. You know him and met him, but I always thought, you know, he's going to be able to turn that around and have success in the NFL more than anything. And just kind of how you were talking about Coach Saban, you got to have a good quarterback, and he get Russell Wilson, and it kind of takes some cojones to start Russell Wilson. He's a third or fourth round pick. You start him. He hadn't been there that much. They just gave Matt Flynn all that money, and now he's gone already. So,
well, that's what I like about Pete. It was the same thing when he was at USC, and we talked about some of his players out there. Because I talked to him talk about a good recruiter. He's calling me all the time. Hey, how's Broderick doing? Da da da. Because, you know, he couldn't call Broderick but once a week or whatever. He's calling me. Hey, how's he doing? We'd talk. Yeah, you got any questions for me? Let's chit chat a little while. I got a few minutes, you know. And he was really made you feel good about that. But we had talked about things like that, and so I just started picking his brain. And that's one of the things he's like, you know. if I get a recruit in here and he might be the five-star and I feel pressure, but if I got a walk-on that's better, I'm playing the walk-on. And he carried that to Seattle with him. Like, wow. You said, they gave me, yeah, Matt Flynn all the money, but it ain't about that. He goes, and that's one of the things
wants
he wanted.
Win, yeah.
Yeah, and he wanted to have that deal with the owners. Hey, look, it's about winning. It's not, we got a first-round draft choice. We got to give him every opportunity to lose it. He's got one opportunity like everybody else.
Right.
And I think, too, though, he's a player's coach with some discipline. You know, I think his players, even the NFL, and that's a tough deal because you got everything from 37-year-olds down to 22-year-olds, and they all want to play hard for him and things like that.
What's the drive this year? What's the motivation this year for Pulaski Academy football? The fact that lost in the semifinals to Batesville, didn't realize the dream of winning a state championship last year. What's the motivation this year?
The motivation is, if you know, I'll work these guys on days when probably most people wouldn't work them. We work out at 1:30, 3:30 in the afternoon every day in the heat to stay acclimated to the heat. And you know, I think pretty much everybody else in the state's giving their kids off this week. We're not. You know, and if we're going to work all that hard, we want to get something for it, and that's win a state championship. We always have one goal. We used to do a goal board with, you know, 15 different things. And we have some individual game goals, defensive goals, off, you know, like everybody else does. But we used to have a set of goals. These are our team goals. Win conference, win this, win that, you know, beat this team. Da-da.
Win it. Don't lose at home. Yeah,
yeah, that, yeah, kind of stuff. We don't have that anymore. One goal, win a state championship. That's it.
Chad Hooten was on the Zone today with Justin, and they were talking about, our obviously, Hooten's Arkansas football. It's now on the newsstands now. And he talked about trying to get Batesville and Pulaski Academy to play in the kickoff classic, and there was talk about that. But Dave didn't want to do it because he thought that they would be practicing all summer for the onside kicks, and he thought, we're gonna play them in the playoffs somewhere,
right,
the way it's set,
right,
up. And if we show them what we're doing on the onside kicks, then we're not going to be able to it's
well,
going to be gone.
Don't onside kick it then, though. Yeah.
Well, but
or don't worry,
no,
about it. Well,
Pulaski
don't worry
Academy
about it,
is the one
saying.
That, yeah, don't worry about
up,
it then.
Set up differently.
But he wanted to, they had a plan that they thought they could use, and I guess it worked out here.
Right, right.
When they played you all last year.
Yeah. But Dave's a good coach. I coached down in Texas for 5 years, and Dave did too. Dave was the head coach down there at Madisonville, Texas, and had done a really good job with that program. But, you know, and Dave is a minute by minute, you know, the opposite of us. We'll show up at 6:15 for a 7 o'clock game and jog out there, jog around, throw it around a little bit, and we're ready to go. Dave has a 5 o'clock we arrive, 5:02 you're dressed, 5:05 quarterback meetings, 5:10 we walk out on the field.
And that's 90% of every college and professional. When you walk in, there's a whiteboard up there that says exactly 5:02 here, 5:07 here. Everything is mapped out,
right,
for you.
Right, and that's, yeah, the kind of – but the, he's real – so it doesn't surprise me that Dave would think like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, hey, play him once. I got to play him again, and you know, I'll figure something out the next time. If this works, good, I'll do it again. And if it doesn't work, hey, that was stupid. Glad I got to try it then, you know. You know, and it's just different philosophies and stuff. But Dave's an excellent coach, and I could very much see him – wanting to say that because, you know, he had something he really liked and didn't want to show it.
I think if there was a feel-good story, though, last year in the state for high school football, it had to have been Camden Fairview. With Kyrie Neal and the injury he suffered, and for Buck James and the Cardinals to win a state championship that year, his senior year, to have him down on the field, in doing the game, you know, emotion came over you. We didn't know what to say.
Well,
when that was going on.
The year before or 2 years before?
They lost the year before.
Yeah, yeah.
They had lost to Greenwood when they really had a good shot to win that game, yeah.
And if Kyrie Neal wouldn't have been injured, he'd probably gone anywhere in the country.
Yeah, he's a big kid. You're right, that was a feel-good story. And I even liked that. I called Buck when, you know, it was over with her, texted him or something, said, hey, congratulations, proud of you. Because the Kyrie, like you say, that was a pretty neat deal and good for him. And you know, people, you know, sports, you know, there's a reason we have Sports Center and 15 different Fox Sports Nets, because sports motivate people. People pay attention to it. People care about it. People are passionate about it. And for that young man, yeah, he's gone through a lot. He's not in a great situation now. But that, I mean, there's no question that made him feel better and meant a lot to him. And for that to happen, you know, if PA wasn't going to win it, I'd just soon them win it for him as much as anybody.
Especially the way they lost it the year before.
Yeah, exactly. That was tough. And it's tough for your kids to bounce back in that situation because they'd lost one a couple years earlier to Greenwood, kind of similarly. Mm-hmm. But that's why you love sports. That's why you're in it. And I hope that kid got as much as I think he did out of it because I guarantee you for that night, he was feeling pretty good.
We've got about 30 seconds left. Anthony Lucas just walked through. We want to talk to him a little bit later, but I know you've got him on your staff now. How's he been working out? He's
fantastic.
In year number two now.
The nicest human being on the face of the planet that I've ever known, and a great guy, and he's been great for our receivers. You know, we're good on schemes and stuff like that, but he's good on teaching the finer points of the game and things like that. I need to get some more, when we get the opportunity, more ex football players in here.
Just don't let him wear flip-flops out there on the field.
He won't show his feet.
He won't show his feet. You're right. Kevin, thanks so much. Good luck with practice today.
Thanks for having me.